From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 30. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Jehoiakim was not sent away from the king's palace with a store to last him for months, but his provision was given him as a daily pension. Herein he well pictures the happy position of all the Lord's people. A daily portion is all that a man really wants. We do not need tomorrow's supplies. That day has not yet dawned, and its wants are as yet unborn. The thirst which we may suffer in the month of June does not need to be quenched in February, for we do not feel it yet. If we have enough for each day as the days arrive, we shall never know want. Sufficient for the day is all that we can enjoy. We cannot eat or drink or wear more than the day's supply of food and raiment. The surplus gives us the care of storing it, and the anxiety of watching against a thief. One staff aids a traveler, but a bundle of staves is a heavy burden. Enough is not only as good as a feast, but is all that the veriest glutton can truly enjoy. This is all that we should expect. A craving for more than this is ungrateful. When our Father does not give us more, we should be content with His daily allowance. Jehoiakim's case is ours. We have a sure portion, a portion given us of the King, a gracious portion, and a perpetual portion. Here is surely ground for thankfulness. Beloved Christian, in matters of grace you need a daily supply. You have no store of strength. Day by day must you seek help from above. It is a very sweet assurance that a daily portion is provided for you, in the Word, through the ministry. By meditation, in prayer, and waiting upon God, you shall receive renewed strength. In Jesus, all needful things are laid up for you. Then enjoy your continual allowance. Never go hungry, while the daily bread of grace is on the table of mercy.
Yeah.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the Epistle to the Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called, Why We Must Be Delivered from the Law. As we've seen, the main objective of Chapter 7 of Romans is to deal with God's law, its functions, and its limitations. The clear teaching of the New Testament is that sinners cannot be saved by keeping the law. This is not because the law is sinful, but because it requires perfect obedience, which no man is able to render. All the law can do is expose sin and condemn it. An essential point here is that the law not only condemns the act of sin, but the very thoughts and feelings of sin. Only when this is understood will the sinner know the awfulness and ugliness of sin. Furthermore, the law provides sin a base of operations. For unregenerate human nature rebels against any restraints placed upon it. People delight in doing as they please until the law of God convicts them. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Why We Must Be Delivered from the Law.
Until the law of God comes, man will never take sin seriously. They externalize it, they trivialize it, they preen themselves in their self-righteousness. They're so complacent about what they are and how good they are, when all the time the law of God tears away the mask. And it shows behind that mask a heart that's as foul and dark and rebellious and lustful and sinful and wicked as hell itself. You know, my friend, that's exactly why in the preaching of the gospel, there must be the preaching of the law of God. Now, the law is not the gospel, but the law is a preparatory message to show men their need of the gospel. People talk about the easy believism of the days in which we live. And this is a huge, huge scandal in evangelical Christianity. If I understand 1 Corinthians chapter 3 properly, and I believe I do, and I have to confess it makes me tremble as a preacher when I read 1 Corinthians 3. It should make every preacher tremble. Concerning that day when we stand before God and we give account of our ministry. And it's dealing particularly with preachers who are admitting to the Church of Christ people who are not saved at all. You add them to the numbers. It makes the church rule look good. You clock up the decisions. We have 5,000 decisions. And what's the use if you have 5,000 baptized candidates for hell? What's the use? People with decisions that mean nothing. They're all mixed up. Why? Because they have never, never been brought to a conviction of sin. They've never been brought face to face with the law of God. Is it any wonder they have no appreciation for grace when they have never felt the awfulness of guilt? Jesus said that the one who has been forgiven much will love much. The one who feels guilt in all its depths will feel grace in all its glory. This is a vital part of the presentation of the gospel. Because though the law cannot save a man, it shows him his need to be saved. And it shows him that depravity that's deep rooted in his heart will bring him down to death in the end. As verse 10 says, the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. So why must we be delivered from the law? Because for all its innate perfection, all it can do with sin is to expose and condemn it. But there's one final reason why we must be free from the law if we're ever to be saved. And it's this, that the law affords sin a base of operation to work deception and death in all who remain under it. Notice the wording of verse 8. And watch the terms carefully. Sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. Sin, that evil, corrupt principle within our nature, taking occasion, without wasting too much time on this, you can take this as a sort of a military expression, making a base of operation. Sin makes the commandment the base of its operations, and it wrought, the word means it worked effectively, powerfully in me to produce all manner of evil desire. Now once again, Paul is emphasizing that the desire of evil is sin. Now the question is, how does the law of God provide sin with a base of operation? The answer is in two ways. And you can readily identify with this. See, it's the psychology. And I use that word in a biblical sense. Psychology is the science of the soul as revealed in the Word of God. I'm not talking about the pseudo-science that masquerades under the title. Psychology, as here exhibited, is absolutely perfect. The law provides sin with a base of operation because it provokes the sinner to rebel. We all know that. We've all felt that. You know it in everyday life. Little Johnny has just learned to walk. And you goo and you oh and you ah. And you have your little china ornament sitting there and you say to Johnny, don't touch it. And you turn your back. What's the very first thing that the little rebel goes to touch? No, I know you're Johnny, not a little rebel. You think that? You have a long way to go, ma'am. You're going to learn a whole lot before you're much older. I don't mean to trivialize this, but this is true. By nature, we are rebels. Rebels against God, rebels against the law of God. And when the law says, thou shalt not, it stirs and it provokes the rebellion. Why am I not allowed to do this? And the most important, well, not the most important, I suppose, the most egregious thing that we say is, this is not fair. God is not fair. I should be able to sin with impunity. Why has God, and Paul writes to Timothy about this, why has God ordained things in such a way that you sin? Many kinds of sin, and you find it in your own body and it's killing you before the time. Why should that be? Why is adultery, for example, as he writes to the Corinthians, a sin against a man's own body? Why has it produced a stream of disease that's spreading throughout the world? It's not fair. Does it stop people from sinning? No, it doesn't. It stirs them up to sin. Because we're rebels. It's something else. It plants in depraved and rebellious minds the idea of the very thing that it forbids. The law mentions things that you'll not do. And it's as if the switch was flipped and you say, man, I hadn't thought of that. That's the very thing I'll do. Why is that? Paul says in Titus 1:15, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So when the holy law gives a holy commandment that is just and fair and good and upright and beneficial, the rebel turns it into a reason to sin. Lloyd-Jones once said, the law irritates sin, disturbs it, and by its prohibitions arouses it. And this is the point that Paul makes so strongly at the end of verse 8 into chapter 9. Without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. The law, without the law, sin was dead. The idea here is without the law is simply that it didn't trouble my conscience. Oh, it was there. I mean, the law is in the Bible. You can't get away from it. You can deny it, ignore it, do whatever you like. It's still there. But Paul's saying, it lay inert, inactive, didn't trouble me. And as a result, I was alive. I was complacent about myself, about my standing with God. But when the law did its work, sin revived, sin was aroused, and I died. And I realized then just how deep and dark was the depravity of my soul. And I lost all my self-complacency and was swallowed up by guilt. And the result, verse 10, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now that brings us full circle. We're back to the question of verse 7, only in different words. Verse 7 says, what shall we say then is the law sin? So Paul now comes to verse 13. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Do I blame the law, says Paul, for bringing me to death? No. Verse 11, it was sin that deceived me. It was sin that slew me, not the law of God. Verse 12, the law is not evil, but by its very purity, it shows, as verse 13 puts it, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Now you see, this is Paul's real argument. But because of the reasons given, we must be saved from the law. What I want you to get tonight is, if you have never known conviction of sin, if you're at ease with a lax view of sin, if you have that superficial religion that lets the lust of an evil heart flourish, and that doesn't bring you down under such a feeling of unworthiness and rebelliousness and guilt, you're not saved. You're not saved. Paul is here describing his experience as vital to his Christian life and as vital to ours as well. Men and women understand we can't be saved by the law, but the law must do its work to let you see how vile and filthy, ungodly, unworthy, and needy you really are, and shut you up to Jesus Christ. I hope that tonight, although I have not, I'm skating over this passage pretty quickly, I have not gone into it in the depth that it deserves. I hope you've got some conception of how vile sin is. It's not just outward actions, it's an inward bias of the will that's against God. It's an inward corruption. It's an evil root, how vile sin is. I want you to understand how real sin is. Sin is not a psychological disturbance. Sin is not a complex. Sin is not something of which preachers speak in order to scare you into submission. Sin is real evil.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.